Chrysler Fiat will have to buy back a lot of potentially faulty pickups and Jeeps. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Chrysler Fiat will pay a $105 million fine, the most in the history of automotive safety regulation. Plus, the company will buy back some Ram pickup trucks with steering problems and offer owners money on some Jeeps with vulnerable gas tanks. Nick Bunkley is a reporter for Automotive News. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
This is a big one. How significant is this action against Fiat Chrysler?
Well, it's the biggest penalty that any automaker has had to pay at one time. And essentially, it's the equivalent of Fiat Chrysler's entire first quarter profits.
And a standout feature of the agreement seems to be, for instance, for about 500,000 owners of Ram pickup trucks, what, they can swap out for a new one?
Chrysler's going to have to offer at least to buy back 500,000 these Ram pickup trucks. I wouldn't expect a large number of those people would actually use it, but even a small number is going to add up pretty quickly. It's the largest buyback that anybody's ever had to do.
I mean, some kind of shift here, certainly in tone. In early June, Fiat Chrysler boss Sergio Marchionne seemed defiant, suggesting a Jeep recall just wasn't necessary.
NHTSA has got a new administrator in place who's taking a pretty hard line on automakers and these defects, and clearly Fiat Chrysler felt like it couldn't continue to fight this. They were looking at about 24 recalls that were under investigation here, but it does mean a change in Chrysler's attitude that they aren't going to be able to fight this anymore. They just want to put it behind them.
Nick Bunkley at Automotive News. Nick, thanks.
Thank you.
Fiat Chrysler Automobiles stock is down 7% on the Milan Stock Exchange now. We also have some especially market-sensitive info on the way later this week. The Federal Reserve's Interest Rate Setting Committee is meeting with a briefing about their collective view on Wednesday midday. The conventional wisdom is interest rates go up in September. Drew Mattis is senior U.S. economist at UBS Securities. Morning to you, Drew.
Good morning.
So I shouldn't bet my entire 401k savings on definitely September. We can't quite say that.
I don't think September's a done deal, although at UBS we think September's the more likely candidate. Two reasons for it, really. One is that Janet Yellen is increasingly talking about this idea that you should go earlier but slower. And the other thing is that her testimony last week or so, she noted that the economy was transitioning from one that needed lower rates to one that needed higher rates. So everything's steering towards her being willing to go earlier, but to then try to maintain a slower pace later.
And I see that members of the Federal Open Market Committee are at constant pains to try to make the point that even if interest rates do go up late this year, they'll just go up a little, and that still leaves interest rates low.
And on top of that, they also have expanded the balance sheet of the Federal Reserve, which stimulates the economy in a different way. So not only will you still have very low interest rates, but you'll still have this other method they use to stimulate the economy. Probably it'll be more of a psychological effect of, hey, the economy is getting stronger. And at UBS, we actually think it could be a positive for growth rather than a negative.
Drew Mattis at UBS Securities. Always good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me on.
Restaurant chain Chipotle recently increased paid sick leave, vacation, and tuition reimbursement for its hourly workers. Earlier this month, a court in Los Angeles approved a $2 million settlement with over 38,000 people who alleged unpaid overtime, missed rest breaks, and lower than minimum wage. Filing class action lawsuits over pay may be a national workplace trend. Anna Boyko-Wyrock with Rocky Mountain PBS iNews in Denver reports.
Brittany Swa started working at a Chipotle in Centennial, Colorado in 2010.
I started off as a crew member.
Swa ran the cashier, grilled meat, and served customers. She made $14.50 an hour and was eligible for overtime at time and a half. When she was promoted to apprentice manager a few months later, she expected to get more managerial training. But
the only difference would be like opening in the morning, I would run over to the bank, make the deposit. I mean, it takes you like 15 minutes.
And Swa says she was now averaging 55 to 60 hours a week.
If they needed coverage, you would be the one to cover, or somebody calls in sick, you got to cover.
And she was now an exempt employee and couldn't claim overtime. SWI is one of the tens of thousands of plaintiffs in settled and ongoing lawsuits from California to New York suing Chipotle for unpaid wages, either because they alleged they were misclassified as managers or because they worked off the clock, cleaning the store and attending mandatory meetings. A spokesman for Chipotle says, quote, "Cases of this kind are happening with increasing frequency around the country and are not unique to Chipotle." Under the Fair Labor Standards Act, federal lawsuits like this one have more than doubled in the past decade.
So it's very confusing to figure out how to exactly follow this law.
Lori Ray is an attorney with the Mountain States Employers Council. The federal law was written during the Great Depression, and Ray says rules on when to pay overtime, for example, are complicated, and there's a lot of room for error.
Plaintiffs' attorneys, the employees' attorneys, became aware that this was sort of lucrative ground for them to cover, and they started insisting that employers pay their clients for mistakes they'd made under the law.
Nantia Ruan says there's another reason. She teaches law at Denver University and is helping with the apprentice overtime lawsuit against Chipotle.
We expect workers to be on call and working tremendous amount of hours in a way that we hadn't been in the 60s, 70s.
Chipotle has now settled lawsuits with workers in Maryland, California, and Florida. In the coming months, wage lawsuits against the company in Colorado, Minnesota, and Texas are pending class action certification. In Denver, Colorado, I'm Anna Boyko-Wyrock for Marketplace.
We're also following Teva's purchase today of Allergan's genetic medicine business for $40 billion. The combination is a bet on old drugs, not new. And by market capitalization, the combination could become the biggest pharmaceutical company in the world, surpassing Eli Lilly by that measure. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.